Reading from God's holy word, the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 25 through 39. Luke chapter 2. Hear the word of God. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, and Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. The word of God. Let us pray. Holy Father, cause us then to see the significance of thy Son Jesus and as this holy child. In Christ's name we pray this. Amen. The custom of the law referred to here was that after a woman delivers a male child, she is considered ceremonially unclean, and she is to separate herself from the congregation of Israel for a period of time. Now that time is elapsed, and she's coming into the temple with Joseph to offer a sacrifice. And here is Simeon, the old prophet, waiting for what is known as the consolation of Israel. That is, the comfort of Israel. This was a synonym for the Messiah. The Jewish people were waiting year after year throughout history for what they called the comfort of Israel, meaning the Messiah. And he was predicted to come, and Simeon is waiting because the Spirit of God showed him that he will see him in the flesh before he dies. So our theme is this. Here we see a child set for the rising and fall of many. Let's look at the baby Jesus from three vantage points. First, from the view of contemporary Americans at Christmas. Secondly, through the eyes of Simeon the prophet, waiting in the temple for the consolation of Israel. And third, from the viewpoint of Mary, the child's mother, to whom Simeon prophesied. So then first, how is this baby perceived by most people in this country at Christmas? Most people have a fondness for Christmas in this country. They have as well a sentimental attraction to this child. But it is a distorted attraction. It trivializes who he really is, not just because I think so, but because of what the text says here versus what people typically think of the baby Jesus. I mean, it goes without saying that since Christ is an adult and what he did as an adult is so misunderstood, well, naturally the birth of Jesus is going to be misunderstood by most Americans. It's easier for people to relate to a little infant than it is to an adult. They have a sentimental view of the Holy Infant during Advent season, and this is reflected in the cards people send and the way they regard Christ, the babe in the manger, the little Lord Jesus. Most of you know not everyone who attends church is saved. So for the entire church-going world, for them to rejoice at the birth of this child has a certain shallowness to it. A lot of people would be better off shedding some tears and hearing and hearkening to the words of this old prophet Simeon and taking his words seriously, hearing what he says here. But people think, you know, Christmas and Easter Christians, we call them, they attend maybe midnight mass, or they attend Christmas service, and then they don't darken the door of a church for the next 6 months till Easter. There was a movie out years ago, a musical actually, made in 1950 called Summer Stock. And it had Judy Garland singing the lead song, very popular movie in its day, and the refrain of the song is this, shout hallelujah, come on, get happy, we're ready for the judgment day. And very popular song. In fact, it was so popular that Frank Sinatra made a recording of it too, a lighthearted musical with that refrain. Well, that's how people in our culture refer and think of the babe in the manger. Those who do not rightly reckon with this child and the meaning of his birth in life will be those that fall. He is set for the rising of the, and the fall of many. That word set means he is appointed for that purpose. And he will prove to be their downfall. This is reflected as well in Peter's second epistle, 2 Peter 3. He wrote this, therefore it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. There's that word again. Set for the rising and fall of many, appointed for that very purpose. It is a privilege to have saving faith. A lot of people don't have saving faith. They have a kind of faith in Christ. As I shared a few weeks ago, I have a neighbor who was through a 12-step program. He had an addiction, and Jesus became his higher power, and that's how he thinks of him, and he'll answer you, yeah, he believes in Jesus, but not in a saving way. It's a privilege to have saving faith in Christ. Not merely mental assent, but faith that is volitional, where our will is involved in coming to believe the gospel. Our second point is, how shall we look at this child viewed through the eyes of Simeon the prophet waiting in the temple? This child set for the rising and fall of many. He was appointed for the rising of some and the falling of some. And if he was appointed for that, we have to ask, who appointed him? Well, God appointed him for that. This child was to have two different effects on two different kinds of people. Those who would rise and be exalted and, well, rise from the dead through his ministry. And then those who would be thrown down by his ministry. His work in the world would serve as their downfall. That's how Simeon saw this child. That's what he prophesied. And according to him, the child was born into the world to divide the whole human race. And later in life, Christ said as much. He said in Luke 12:51, he said, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. It's ironic that he said that we should hear him say this, because what do we celebrate at Advent season is everyone speaks about peace on earth. But here's Jesus saying, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. Christ is not saying he comes to divide Christians and Christian homes. He means to say that he will divide those who believe from those who do not believe. No one sends Christmas cards with that passage in it. Have you noticed? Peace on earth. We get this phrase, the Christmas message, we get this phrase from Luke 2:13, where it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. But that's not the kind of peace that men presume it to be at Christmas time, else Christ would not have said what he said here, that he comes to divide the human race and to take away peace. There's a kind of peace that Christ takes away. There's a kind of peace that he gives. The kind of peace that he gives is peace between warring peoples. People who naturally would have nothing to do with each other. We're going through the second letter to the Corinthians, and we're seeing how the Corinthian former pagan Greeks and the Hebrews in Jerusalem have become brothers in Christ, and they're helping one another. He comes to bring peace with God, who is by nature antagonistic to us. We are enemies of God, and he is an enemy towards us. This is how the scriptures portray those who do not know him. He comes to bring peace in our own hearts. The peace of a good conscience that only can be gotten through believing the gospel. And ultimately, peace on earth, when he shall have subdued all rule and authority to himself, that has not yet occurred. And then Simeon said that the child would be a sign which would be spoken against. That's how he saw this child. And what the prophet's doing here is he's re-quoting from the prophet Isaiah, who lived 700 years before he did, from a passage that says this, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, Jesse being King David's father, a root of Jesse which shall stand as an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. There's your peace right there. The rest that shall be glorious. Now that word ensign and the word sign, it's the same word. And the meaning of that is that the root of Jesse, actually the sprout that shall come from the cut down stump of King David's father, Jesse, from his family tree, this sprout shall be a signal, a rallying point. That's what's meant by sign. A rallying point for the nations of the world to come to. We use the word ensign today mostly to mean the lower ranking naval officer, but the word ensign can mean a banner or a rallying point. Isaiah envisions the nations gathering together in worship and holy assembly. But according to Simeon, that is not the only effect that this child shall have. He also shall be a rallying point for those who speak against the child. He'll gather them together too. There are other scriptures that corroborate this. The strange thing is that Jesus also serves to draw together those who have nothing or very little in common with each other except a hatred of him. God unites them under the same banner, as it were. John 11:47, for example, records the leaders of the Sadducees meeting in council with the Pharisees, whom they hated. And they're counseling with one another as to how they can put Christ to death. So Christ brings people together who hate him and brings people together who love him. It's ironic. The child to be a rallying point to cause people to overcome their mutual suspicions and jealousies and work together either for him or against him. That's the effect that he'll have on the whole world. And Simeon saw this. And most of us are familiar with Psalm 2. The kings of the earth set themselves. And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. A prophecy of the coming Messiah. There's that word set. They appoint themselves to do this. Simeon also told Mary that through this child, the thoughts of hearts shall be revealed. Most people don't want their thoughts revealed. Most people don't want their hidden things revealed. It says in John chapter 3, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. And then it says, why? Because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So Simeon saw that this child would have two effects on people. So at last Simeon sees with his own eyes the child, the one he has waited for all this time in the temple. And he takes him up in his arms, and he says to God, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now he can die in peace. Well, today we can see with the eye of faith, we can see this same Christ more clearly now in his person and work than any of the prophets did of the past, even more so than Simeon. Why? Because of the clearer revelation that we have from the New Testament. And so also, when our time is up, we, like Simeon, can depart in peace, knowing that we have seen the Lord's Christ. It's the only peace that we'll have going into the next world. Simeon is a continuation of the prophets who could not perfectly see, could not see clearly Christ. We are the ones who clearly see Christ because we understand him. He's the end product of a whole series of prophets who, as 1 Peter 1 says, who inquired and searched diligently, who looked for the coming of the consolation of Israel. They wondered what manner of time he should come and what precisely he would do. Peter says that even the angels desire to look into these things. So you can see the earnest desire and the great desire of the prophets to see what Simeon saw and to understand what we understand today. And the angels themselves the scripture says in 1 Peter, they earnestly desired to understand these things. Finally, let's look at the child through the eyes of Mary, his mother. Simeon gives a word of prophecy to Mary. He says that she is going to suffer. But he also gives her a reason for her suffering. So when the time comes when she has to go through this suffering, she'll be prepared. He says to her, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That's verse 35. That's the prophecy. Now here's the context of the prophecy. Having seen the child and held the child, Simeon quotes from Isaiah chapter 49, where the Messiah is called a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Mary and Joseph marvel at this prophecy. Why did they marvel? Didn't they yet fully know who their son was? Well, if you read through the accounts of Mary and Joseph and their relationship to Christ, you can see that their understanding of just who their son was, in the full significance of that, that took some time. So they marvel at this prophecy. That means that they were astonished at it. It's hard to fault them for this, because even the apostles of Christ didn't fully understand what manner of man he was. They understood him to be the Messiah, even as the Holy Family did. Mary and Joseph understood that Jesus was the Messiah. That was the prophecy that Gabriel gave. He was to be the Son of God. But in knowing him, they were in a continuous process of having their minds expanded about him, not only throughout their life, but even afterwards. The same with the apostles, or rather the same with the disciples. Not only in the 3 years that they were with Jesus, but they had their minds continuously expanded as to what manner of Messiah he was to be. Especially after his death, when he was with them before his ascension into heaven. And even after he departed this earth and sent them the Holy Spirit, the disciples were continuously challenged in their understanding of Christ. Their minds were continuously changed. And we can see this from examples in Scripture. Here's the point. If his disciples didn't fully realize who he was, it's not too much to say that his parents didn't fully know who he was either. They knew he was Messiah. They knew he was the Son of God. But to fully understand who he was and the ramifications of this and the implications of who he was, their lives were changed. Their minds were expanded as they grew, as Christ grew into an adult, and as they knew him more and more. They knew certain facts about Jesus. We know certain facts about Jesus. But even we sitting here, we don't yet know all the ramifications and all the implications of those facts in our lives. And in our prayers. And Christ's parents as well, the same with him. And this is part of the process of sanctification. Sanctification just doesn't mean that our conduct gets better and our personal habits improve. There's more to it than that. There's more to sanctification than that. It also means our understanding becomes more mature in who we know Christ to be. And the relevance of who he is in our daily life and in our prayers and the degree of confidence that we can have in meeting new challenges through knowing him and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul prayed this for the saints at Ephesus. He prayed several prayers. I'll just read one. Ephesians 1, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. That's part of sanctification too. His parents grew in their knowledge of Christ. And finally, the prophecy that Simeon gave. Here, he says that in the providence of God for Mary, he says that God has determined that in order that the thoughts of many hearts are to be revealed, she has to suffer. A sword has to pierce her soul. What does that mean? Well, here the Holy Spirit uses a figure of speech, but what it means is that she's going to watch her son, her baby mocked and abused, and she's going to watch him crucified. She's going to watch him be crucified. She's going to have to witness that. And the purpose is that Christ may be able to do his mission through this death. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Revealed for their good and revealed for their ill. This is how people are brought to repentance. The Lord reveals to them the thoughts and intentions of their heart. They come to him, some of them through faith, and some of them they fall because their thoughts are revealed. It gives... The Lord gave Mary an understanding of why she was suffering for Christ's sake. He does the same with us as well. Christ ennobles the suffering that we go through. Other than that, our suffering has no worth in the kingdom of God. But God made Mary's suffering worth it for her. It had a purpose for her. So, in conclusion, here we see this child set for the rising and fall of many. We see him now through the eyes of contemporary Americans and Christians. We can see him through the eyes of Simeon, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and finally from the viewpoint of Mary, whose suffering was ennobled by her son. Let us pray. Holy Father, grant that we would see this child set for our rising, not only our exaltation, but our glorification. In his name we thank you. Amen.